out of bed and I got saved. I grabbed him around the neck and we were shouting and crying and my wife ordered, "What are y'all doing?" I said, "Bless God, you may lead him to Jesus, but you can't baptize him, pray." Somebody said, "Hey, Brother Meeks, what about Raymond Carney? Number one, his childhood days. Number two, the control of his life." He said, "Preacher, there's always some evil that controlled my life. Until I met Jesus, there was something evil that controlled my life. But if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed." Oh, that's shouting ground. I'm glad if you are led by the Spirit, you are the sons of God. And brother, it's good to be led instead of having control by demons and evil spirits. Listen, Paul said, "When I do good, I do evil." He said, "It's just that. That old flesh will make you do the wrong thing. If you listen to the flesh, mister, you'll do the wrong thing. But if you let the Spirit of God lead you, praise God, you won't have to worry about this thing." And he said, "Preacher, there was always a voice." Let me give you some bits of help. You hear a lot of these TV preachers, radio preachers, tell you listen to voices. You don't listen to voices. You listen to this book. And you listen to the Holy Ghost. That's the only voice you need to listen to. And brother, this book will never mislead you. And the Spirit of God will never mislead you. I want to tell you, when I stand in the book, I never go wrong again. Boy, when I say, "Spirit, lead me every day. Lord God, I don't know the way. Holy Ghost, would you lead me today? I don't have anything to worry about." Listen to me. I'm just what I am. I'm a little mountain boy. No, that's wrong. I'm a big mountain boy. Please tell the truth, don't you? Listen to me. I want you to know. Oh, I've always been the same. I never used to let them. When you come down, why don't you call the big shots? I won't call any of the shots. The little ones are big ones. See, I want the Lord to have praise. I want the Lord. One time I was over in Israel. And I went over to conference with us. I went over to give you some orange juice. We was having a little caboose down there. One of our preachers jumped in the Sea of Galilee. Man, I never heard such hollering in my life as them 12 preachers and do it. I believe no man because it was with us on those 12. I'm not sure. But anyway, we were down there. I went over that night and I said to the little lady there in the fruit stand, I'd like a glass of orange juice. And she said, "Oh, just a moment." And a lady standing over there, and she had talked like she had a bunion on her tongue. She walked over to me and I said, "How are you doing?" She said, "You don't know who I am." I said, "Bless God, you don't know who I am either." She said, "I teach at the University of Pittsburgh." I said, "Great. Listen to my broadcast. We're on at WPIT in Pittsburgh." And she said, "I'm over here doing some research." I said, "Lady, I already found it. Glory to God." And she looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, "Lady, did you know right across from here, from where we're standing, is a place called the Gathering Country? And there's a place where a man couldn't do what he wanted to do. He'd bite himself all day, and he'd bite himself all night. He'd cry all day and he'd cry all night and he slept in the tombs." Man, you got to be crazy to sleep in the grave. Do I say amen? Amen. Well, I want to tell you something. Man, that fellow's crazy. Nobody could bind him. He's supernaturally strong. And I said, "Lady, he is right over there in the Gadarene country." She said, "I don't believe that." I said, "I don't care whether you believe it or not. You read Mark 5, bless God, you'll find out." She was a modernist. Next morning, I went over there, and she got up early. Her eyes was all pooched out. She said, "I ain't slept none." She said, "Did you know, I don't believe there's a wild man over yonder 1,900 years ago, but there's a bunch of them around here all night. It hollered all night long. I want you to know we shouted all night long. And we praise God that we have the right controller. Mister, only Jesus can control your life. Only Jesus can lead you in your life. Only Jesus can make life what it ought to be. Yeah, throw it like number three. Instead, I've been under a curse. I want to give you something. Everybody's under a curse till you get saved. Galatians 3:13 said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And cursed is anyone to hang a thorn on the tree. I'm glad he removed the curse and put the blessings. Amen. Aren't you glad you don't have to live under the curse of God? Aren't you glad that you don't have to live, hear me tonight, here in Harmony Baptist Church? There are a lot of people that are living under the curse of God. But it's better to get up in the morning and sing, there shall be showers of blessing. Oh, praise God for the blessings. And I never told you this. A lot of preachers get up here, lie to you and tell you they're having a hard time. I ain't having a hard time. Did you see that supper I ate tonight? Say amen. That old Cadillac got your arm driving. It's 13 years old, but it's pretty. Amen. I'm having it good. I hear preachers, I'm having a hard time. No, I ain't having no hard time. I'm having the best time I ever had. Because when I get up in the morning, I sing Savior like a shepherd lead me. Oh, much I need thy tender care. And when he takes me by the hand, and brother, when he leads me daily, I want to tell you that's a blessed thing to have the Lord and be out from under the curse of God Almighty. Watch this, I'm going to show you something. I'm just going to give you two people in the Bible so the curse of God. And we'll go. Number one, Bible said Malachi, if a man robs God, he's under the curse of God. Listen what this book says. It said, I'll bless you or I'll curse you. And oh, there are a lot of people. Listen to me now, folks. You listen to me. Sure as there's a God in heaven, there wouldn't be any church financial problems. There wouldn't be any problems financially for the work of God if people would pay what they owe. The tithe is the Lord's. And God said, if you rob me of the tithe and the offering. You know what he said? He said, I'll close up heaven. I will bless you. He said, there'll be no bread on the table. And if God's people would pay up what they owe God, we wouldn't have to beg and plead. Hear me, folks. It's not right. God's not a beggar. Oh, listen, God would bless us if we'd obey him. And what a blessing it is to know that we don't have to steal and rob from God. Let me give you an illustration. I used to go to Maryville, Tennessee every year. Maryville, right out of Knoxville. And there's a fellow sat down on the front row and took up offering. He seemed like he was all right. I came back one year and I said to the pastor, I said, where'd that guy do something in front? He said, shh, I'll tell you. I said, all right, what's the secret? He said, shh, I can't have service. After service, he said, Brother Mays, we caught him stealing out of the offering pans. So he'd go back and count and money and said he'd take a 20 or a 10 or 5 and stick it in his pocket. He said, they came to me, those that watched him, and I couldn't believe it. Said, I went to him and I finally had to tell him, we're going to have to ask you not to take up the offering. We have money missing. And he said, tears ran down that man's face, the preacher said, Mays. And he said, yes, I stole that money. But said him, I'm more guilty by taking it out of the plate than those that sit there every Sunday and don't put it in. He said, I robbed God, and so does half of this church robbed God. And if you'll think that through, mister, that soul just as certain as there's a God in heaven. The Bible said, I'll curse you with a curse. Number two, the Bible said, a man that preaches any other gospel than the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus. Why, there's only one gospel. A lady wrote me one time and said, you preach a four square gospel. I looked all over the Bible for a four square gospel. Couldn't find it. They put one thing called four square, and that's heaven. Say amen right there. Amen. My four square nothing. Brother, this is the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul writing about the resurrection. He said, I declare to you the gospel. How that Christ died according to the scripture. How he was buried according to the scripture. How he was raised according to the scripture. gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you put her down, mister. You read that and you get hold. He said, I declare the gospel of you. And I'm glad it's the good news of heaven. Oh, thank God. It's the news that sinners can come and repent of their sin. And by the grace of God, they go to heaven. But a man gets up and preaches any other Jesus. We got a lot of strange Jesus being preached in our churches. And we got a lot of strange gospel that's being preached today. They say, join up, you can sign up, chew it out. They'll never throw you out, but there ain't no gospel in that. Have you ever heard that? There ain't no gospel in that. The gospel is that God loved you and sent his son to die for you and to pay the sin debt and redeem you from the curse and, my friend, justify you in the sight of a holy God. That's the gospel. He said, I've been under a curse all my life. I said, Raymond, you ain't never been blessed by God. He said, no, I can't remember a day that I ever received a blessing from God. Folks, I can remember a day when God didn't bless me. Hallelujah. Listen, I've been in bad shape for God didn't bless me. I'm one of them fellas, you know, I got to have them blessings. Amen. Some of you say, well, I don't. None of them. When you pray, they'll fall on me. I'll take every one God's got. Praise God. I love the blessings of God. When a home has the blessing of God. When a church has the blessings of God. When a life has the blessing of God. That's the best thing in the world. Blessings of the Lord. Not only the curse. I want you to notice the fourth thing. I want you to write it down. I want you to know, he said to me, he said, why don't I have any feelings? And here's what he said. He said, I got a whole heart. He said, people don't touch me. I watch them suffer. Listen, I don't want to go to the hospital. I hate going to the hospital. You say, why do you hate to go to the hospital? People are suffering. Paul said we have a Savior that can be touched with the feelings of our heart. Brother, it touches me. I go in a room and some old saint that's lived for God is dying and in pain. Listen to me. I remember down here in Charlotte, a lot of people. Listen, folks. I hope some of you independent Baptists, you hear me. I was preaching in Atlanta 2 weeks ago and there's 100-something independent Baptists. I said, you know the meanest crowd I know anything about independent Baptist preachers. Say amen. My Lord, y'all must have grown to that crowd. I'm telling you, if you're not an independent Baptist preaching, cross every T and dot every I, they won't have to do it. I want you to know there'll be some good methods in heaven, whether you like it or not, because they've been saved. Amen? There'll be some folks over there, bless God, that'll be in heaven. But I want you to listen to me. I like that. That warm heart. Oh, Paul said, listen to me, our preachers, and I'm guilty to myself, I'm not tender-hearted enough. Oh, now look at the little boy going to hell and be about that. Oh, I want to be tender-hearted where you can come up here and say, my daughter and I from home. And I cry just like you cry. Listen to me. My Bible says, bear one another's burdens. Oh, we need some tender-hearted Christians today. I'm not talking about compromising. I'm not talking about other things. But listen to me. While some of the people in this community be afraid to tell you the drugs. Well, you're just like a mad dog snapping all the time, biting everything and biting my. Now listen to me, that's not right. That's not right. Boy, this man told me, he said, I've had a cold heart. I've had a cold heart. I didn't care how people suffered. I didn't care what happened to people. He said, all my life I've been on the freight trains. I've been a bum. And he said, all of my life, preacher, I want to tell you something. I didn't care for people. Oh, listen, there was a time the church cared for people. Hear me now. There was a time the church had a tender heart for people. And mister, any church that doesn't have a tender heart and a warm heart, there's something wrong. You know why your hearts are cold? Luke 24, read it when you get home. Two disciples were walking down the Emmaus Road and they met a stranger. And he got to talking to them and opened up the scripture. And when they got to the house, one of them looked over and he said, hey, did not our hearts burned within us as we walked along the Emmaus Road with him. If you walk close enough to Jesus, your heart will be warmed. Oh, listen to me. If you walk close enough to Jesus, your heart will be warmed. Let me give you another scripture over in 1 Samuel. Find chapter 10, verse 26. About David's mighty men. David had a lot of men, thousands of men. But he had a few mighty men. You know what the Bible said made them mighty? God had touched their hearts. Let me say to you, brother, when God touches the hearts of the people of God in church, I want you to know there will be a difference. You can walk out of here and say, my heart beats after you. My heart's warm. Thank God I've got a heart for the people. I've got a heart for my neighbor. I've got a heart for those in trouble. I used to preach at the penitentiary at least once a month down in Atlanta, the penitentiary. Carl Smithwick was living there. Carl Smithwick was the warden, one of the finest Christians I've ever met. By the way, he's a Methodist. Some of you better have created that. Say amen. Carl Smithwick was a holy man of God. He's a warden. I never will forget Carl. I never will forget him. It's amazing when you can and when you're home, come back just early on Sunday morning before you preach to the people they love to hear you. So they believe you got a heart for them. They believe your heart's true there. Mays, we need somebody to come into this penitentiary and preach to them. I remember one Sunday morning I was there. Y'all know Noah, my son, he had his quartet there. And I said to Carl, I said, we'll let Nolan sing a song, then I'll preach. Well, they got to singing. One old fellow in the back raised his hand and said, Mr. Jackson, does the quartet know Father Long?
Some of the people in
this community be afraid to tell you the truth. Well, you're like a mad dog, snacking all the time, biting everything you pass it by. Now, listen to me, that's not right. Right. That's not right. Boy, this man told me, he said, I've had a cold heart. I've had a cold heart. I didn't care how people suffered. I didn't care what happened to people. He said, all my life I've been on freight trains. I've been a bum. And he said, all of my life, preacher, I want to tell you something. I didn't care for people. Oh, listen, there was a time the church cared for people. Hear me now. There was a time the church had a tender heart for people. And mister, any church that doesn't have a tender heart and a warm heart, there's something wrong. You know why your hearts are cold? Luke 24, read it when you get home. Two disciples were walking down the Emmaus road and they met a stranger. And he got to talking to him and opened up the scripture. And when they got to the house, one of them looked over and he said, hey, did not our hearts burn within us as we walked along the Emmaus road with him? If you walk close enough to Jesus, your heart will be burned. Oh, listen to me. If you walk close enough to Jesus, your heart will be warm. Let me give you another scripture over in 1 Samuel. We'll find chapter 10, verse 26, about David's mighty men. David had a lot of men, thousands of men, but he had a few mighty men. You know what the Bible said made them mighty? God had touched their hearts. Let me say to you, brother, when God touches the hearts of the people of God in the church, I want you to know there'll be a difference. You can walk out of here and say, my heart beats after you. My heart's warm. Thank God I've got a heart for the people. I've got a heart for my neighbor. I've got a heart for those in trouble. I used to preach at the penitentiary at least once a month. Down in Atlanta, penitentiary. Carl Smith was living then. Carl Smith was the warden, one of the finest Christians I've ever met. By the way, he's a Methodist, some of you better appreciate that. Say amen. Carl Smith was a holy man of God. He's a warden. I never will forget Carl. I never will forget him. It's amazing when you can and when you're home, come back here early and stuff. Before you preach to the people, they love to hear you. So they believe you got a heart for them. They believe your heart's tender. Maybe we need somebody to come into this penitentiary and preach to them. I remember one Sunday morning I was there. Y'all know Noah, my son. He had his quartet there. And I said to Carl, I said, we'll let Nolan sing a song, then I'll preach. Well, they got to singing. One old fellow in the back raised his hand and said, Mr. Jackson, does the quartet know Father alone? We'll know more about it. And I turned to Noah and I said, sing a stanza of that if you got it. Then I'm going to preach in this crowd. And so Noah and they started singing Father alone. We'll know more about it. And they got to crying. The prisoners got to crying and I got to crying. And when I got up to speak, hear me. And I looked at my watch after a while and I preached 15 minutes overtime. And I said, Lord, have mercy. I preached 15 minutes overtime. One old fellow in the back raised his hand and said, keep on preaching. We ain't going nowhere. Praise God. I'll tell you, listen to me. It takes that tender heart. It takes that heart of compassion and that heart of love. But I went one Easter morning, Sunday Easter. Carl said, now the women would she preach them first. And so we had just the women. And a little mother came down the aisle. And I said, mother? She said, no, I ain't no mother. I'm a grandmother. And I'm here in jail on Easter morning. I ought to be with my family. I ought to have my family going to church and celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. I looked at that little grandmother kneeling there at the altar. And tall Brother Carl looked over at me and he said, Mays, he said, oh, I want God to give me a heart to help these people. Let me say this to you tonight. Raymond Carney said to me, he said, Mays Jackson, I've had a cold heart. I've had a heart stone. He said, I've been troubled with that cold heart. Oh, I want a warm heart. Amen. I like that tender heart. Now, I not only need to talk about my friend here, the cold heart he had, but number five. He said, I was convicted, his conviction. He's convicted of beating a 19-year-old boy to, they hadn't had his dental record, they wouldn't know who he was. Raymond had big hands. He took an 18-year-old girl, beautiful girl, sitting there at Lover's Lane, Conley, South Carolina, and took a big knife and cut her head off. Severed her head. Walked over to an old abandoned well and threw her head. One day, a mother called me and she said, would you go see my boy? I said, yes, I'm back right here in Nashville. I'll be glad to go. She said, Brother Mays, I can't buy you gas, but I want you to know I love you here on the radio. And said, if anybody can help my boy, I believe you can. She said, preacher, he's just like a man in outer space. I never will forget when they took me up there. I went in what they call F's Row. That's where they keep you before they bring you down to the death house. I never will forget what the woman said. Said, Mays, there he is, Raymond Carney. He looked up at me. Had a bunch of old magazines lying there by his little cot. And I said, Mr. Carney, I came in here by request. I don't know you. And I said, but I want to tell you something. 3 weeks from now, they're going to slap you in that hot seat. And he looked up at me just as he said, I don't believe in God. I don't want you hanging around me. And I said, listen, if it wasn't for your mother, I would be here. I said, remember, your mother didn't pay me to come. You're not paying me to come. And I got stern with you. I said, I came because I want to tell you that the wages of sin is death. And if you reject my Savior, you'll die and go to hell. You'll be in hell as soon as those electrons burn your body up 3 weeks from now. I said, I'm going to pray. He said, don't pray. I said, I'm going to pray anyway. Then I bowed my head and prayed. Mr. Petty was there, the chaplain. I said, Petty, I'm coming back tomorrow. Old Raymond Carney looked up and said, I don't want you to come back. I said, I'm coming anyway. I went back the next day. I took him a Bible. I took him some psalm books. I had some psalms marked. Psalms that I like. Or psalms that was a blessing to me. I said, I got a mark in there. Look him over. No, I ain't. I don't care about you. I don't believe in God. Don't believe in religion. But just after a week, I went in and one morning he's sitting there in an old broken down chair. Well, it was just like one day before. Tears streamed down his cheek a little. He said, you know, I didn't know that book was that good. He said, you marked some scripture in there, didn't you? I said, yes, I did. He said, I can't read good, but I could understand that. I marked some of the easiest scripture. Where the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Yeah. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. I saw him breaking. I saw him beginning to get tender. I got down on that cement floor in that cell on death's row in the penitentiary of South Carolina. And I think he got saved. I don't know. I don't we can comprehend it, but I think he did. He tried. And the Bible said, though a fool or a wayfaring man, he's not there. That's all I got, folks. Because every day up till 12:01, Thursday, well, really it was Friday morning, it's Thursday night. You've been to a penitentiary. I went and drove up there to South Carolina penitentiary down. Jeremy Street back to the river, if you've ever been to Columbia. They cut the lights on. They saw me coming. Big gates. They opened the gates. I went in. I went down. And they opened another gate. And I went in it. I got out and I went up to the warden's room. And I said, I'm going to spend the night with Raymond. I said, you think they'll give him a stay of execution? He said, not this time. I said, you know, I've never seen such a change in a man, Mr. Jackson. He said he used to curse us when we bring food to him. Said, I've never seen such a change in the last couple of weeks. Said, he's so kind. He said, he likes you, Brother Mays. And I said, well, I appreciate that. At 1 minute after 12, it was Friday morning now. They always electrocute him at 7 o'clock on Friday morning, state penitentiary in South Carolina. I went in. I said, Raymond, are you arrested? He said, no. You can't rest when you know it's just 7 hours. 7 hours left, he said. 7 hours! They're going to burn me, Brother Mays. Boy, all night long, I read him scripture. 6:30 the next morning, the boy went and sung, and I can't sing a lick. The boy went and sung all night, prayed all night. Warden came up with a little stick, pecked up there and said, Raymond, it's time to go. We were in the death house, and it just right down about as far as that front door was the place where the electric chair was. And I said, Raymond, I'll go with you. The warden said, is there anything special you want, Raymond? He said, yes, sir. He said, you bring me a basin of water. I want to wash my feet. He took off some old brogans. He laid them aside. And he put those feet in that water. Now, I've never been to a foot washing church. Don't know anything about it. I don't criticize. If they want to wash feet, bless God. Let them wash hands, feet, and everything else. Say amen. Amen. But that's one time I wished I'd have washed a man's feet. I wished I'd have got down and cleaned those feet. You know what he told me? He said, I'm going where the streets are cold, and I don't want to walk on them with dirty feet. Praise God, one of these mornings I'm going where the streets are as pure gold, and I don't want to walk on them with dirty feet. Number two, the Lord said, we're not going to hurry. So we got 30 minutes, Raymond. Take your time. He said, I'd like to go and look through the window. A little window there, just a little window. The sun was coming up. And the warden said, why do you want to look out the window, Raymond? He said, I want to see another sunrise. Because where I'm going, the sun will never set. But he walked over to that window and looked out that window. Tears streaming down his cheeks. Then he turned to me and he said, I'm ready to go. I walked with him and he walked, and when he got nearly to the door, for 2 weeks is all he had the time to learn it, but he learned it. And here's what he started singing. I wonder far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The door being set up, I sang with me. I sang, we went in, there's some. I always have visitors, have the press, the newspaper. They had some witnesses, some of the family, two of them, of the people that he had murdered. They took and set him down in a chair, tore off his right breeches leg, put the electrode to the back of his kneecap. They reached up and put water on that head that severed the night before. And they put that electrode on his head. The warden said, is there anything you want to say? I looked over and he said, I'm sorry. He said, I'm sorry. He looked at the people there and he said, I'm sorry. He said, I'm going to sing. And the last thing they do is drop that little black cloth over your face. And Raymond started singing, I wonder. I started singing. Sam Cannon, the chief electrician, the staff, South Carolina Penitentiary at that time, reached up and pulled those electricity. here for a little while. Big blisters. There were those. That leg out here, there's big blisters. 6 minutes later, they said he's dead. He came, and I promised Raymond I'd go with him to the end. If you've ever watched an execution, and I've seen four or five, I forget them. They take them up in seated position there. They're petrified. And he had to carry them just like he said he'd seated. Two prisoners picked him up and carried him up to the breakdown table. And they broke his legs and straightened his legs out. They broke his arms and put his arms around. And there's an old hearse out there kind of carrying away. Well, I got down and I prayed. That's as far as I could go. But I said, Lord, I could have been a Raymond Carney. God, I could have died in the electric chair. But you went to the old rugged cross and took my place. And now I won't have to go. Ever hit that. Thank you for listening. I told you last time, I said, no. I want you to come tomorrow night. I said, I'll take your message, Brother Tom. Or walking the last mile. I have this in a book. I know where it is now. I have this in track form. Walking the last mile. We don't have many of our outprints. I used to give them away by the hundreds. Walking the last mile. Friend, one of these days you're going to walk the last mile. One of these days, are you listening to me? You're going to walk down through the valley of the shadow of death. If you're saved and you're ready, it'll be a blessed trip because yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Father, I try it again. Oh, God, to show what it means when a man wastes every day of his life. When a man commits a heinous crime. And you said in Genesis 9:6, whoso sheddeth man's blood by his blood shall he be shed. Oh, God, you said in Romans chapter 13, we're under the powers that be. And the powers condemned him to the electric chair. But oh God, the powers of heaven condemned us as lost and dying sinners to the devil's hell. But I'm glad Jesus signed our part. Thank God now we won't have to go. We won't have to go. While your heads are bowed, we'll close this prayer in just a minute. Let me ask you something. Do you know you're right with God, beloved? That's the main thing. I mean, you've been coming to it. Oh, I thank God for you. I thank God for this church, all of our friends in this area. Blessed be friends. That's not enough, friend. You've got to have the friend. His name is Jesus. You've got to know him. Paul said, I know whom I believe. You've got to be sure. Got to have that assurance that you've trusted in one that never fails. You've got to believe and confess with your mouth. Repent of your sin and trust the Savior. There's no one else to trust. I want to ask you three questions tonight, real quickly. Number one, how many of you know that everything's under the blood? You're right with God, so up your hand and we see it. What a wonderful scene. God bless everyone. Tonight, take your hand down, beloved. Number two, I want to ask the Christians. How many of you Christians say, preacher, I've never realized the seriousness of dying. Preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. I have never realized the seriousness of dying. I'm a Christian, and I want you to know, preacher, that I haven't lived close to God. I haven't been true to God. I haven't, preacher, been the Christian I should have been. Would you lift up that hand and let me pray for you, Christian? lift up your hands now. Keep lifting them up. We want to help you. God bless you all in the back. God bless you in the back. God bless you. Is there nothing? All Christian, listen. The Bible says draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Would you lift up your hands? Or all right. Number three, if there's somebody here tonight, say, preacher, I'm going to be honest. I'm lost. My preacher, I'm going to hell. Brother Mays, I'm lost. Would you pray for me? Sinner friend, would you step up your hand? Lift it up. Let me see it. Lift it up. Let me see it. God bless you. Is there another? Come on. Just step up your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to try to help you. Tom's not going to embarrass you. He's here to help you. Would you step up that hand, sinner friend? Let us pray for you. Don't go to hell. Oh, don't die without Jesus. Don't go away without Jesus tonight. Father, I close this prayer now. We're going to sing. Their mothers that need to come to this altar. Their daddies that need to come for prayer. Oh, God, their boys and girls that need to come. I pray they will come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Sing it, walk in, brother.
Page 361.
Number 361. Everybody standing in the house. Let's everybody sing. before we go along with these, said, come to the altar. While they deal with these, y'all pray. We're going to pray. My, how we need to pray. Thank God, how we need to pray. Brother Wall, you slip up here, if you will, please, and lead this prayer. All right, he's coming to pray. You want to get in on it, friends? Come on. Come on real quickly now. Thank God we can pray.
Our Father, we thank you for another day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that we know that you're saved, kept and praised by the power of God.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you that you made salvation full and free. Glad, Lord, that you sent your Son to die that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We thank you, Lord, for the gospel. We thank you for the Bible that's forever settled in heaven, the promises of the Scripture. We ask you, Lord, that you'd help us every day that we might be vessels in the hands of God. And our Father, for these that are around the altar tonight,